If you remember, about 6 years ago, am I on? I don't sound like it.
No.
I'm not on? Am I on? Yep, I'm on.
I'm on. Am I on?
There you go. There you go. Work your one
now. Yeah. If you remember, about 6 years ago, we had that Memorial Day presentation, very moving one, and what we want to do is, if you have direct relatives that were in the military one way or another. Now, when I say direct, what I'm talking about is like my great-great-great-great-grandfather, we have a picture of him, and he was in the War of 1812. And so we're going to bring that in. But not your second uncle on your mom's fifth side. You know, we don't need that. So my great-aunt was a nurse in World War One, and so I'm going to bring that in. You know, something like that, similar to that. Very good. We haven't done it for about six, seven years, and I thought, hey, it'd be neat to do that again. Since things have changed as they have, so we'll do it again. We're going to start collecting probably in April is when we're going to start collecting that. Also, if you look in your bulletin, you will see a piece of paper in the bulletin. As you remember, one of the themes this year is more prayer. And so we're going to be spending more time in prayer in the church. And so more prayer. And so as you know, this weekend, and I did check the weather. Tracy, where are you at? I checked the weather. It doesn't look like it's going to be windy. It does not look like it's going to be rain. It does not look like it's going to be miserable. So when we have our Easter drive-through, for the last 5 years, it seems like it's been raining, snowing, you name it. It's been happening. And so, but we're going to be having it this weekend. And so we want you to do, one of the things we must do is we must bathe it in prayer. And so what I want you to do is I want you to take this piece of paper, put it on your refrigerator, and I want you to daily pray for the Easter outreach. The question is, I pledge daily for the Easter outreach event on March 23rd. There's, the word prayer should be in there, and so you can put that in there. And I will pray that someone who needs to hear the good news of Jesus will arrive during that outreach, and I will pray that someone who needs to hear the good news of Jesus and give their hearts to Jesus from that outreach. So put this on your refrigerator and pray over this on a daily basis. The theme verse that I'm using is Malachi 3:16. I know it deals with tithing, but the one thing that really has been impressed upon me by God this year is just do what I tell you to do and see if I don't open up the floodgates and bring a blessing unto you. And so that's why we're focusing on that. See if I do not bring this one is bring your tithe into the storehouse. See if I do not open up a blessing that you are not able to contain. And I think that just does not apply to tithing, but it also applies to other things as well. So, all right. So let's talk about a few things today. Let's change gears. We're now into the Easter season. Well into it. Next Sunday is Palm Sunday, believe it or not. And then we've got Easter. And in our church, in the Church of God tradition, we hold what is called a foot washing service. And on Monday, Thursday, the Thursday before Easter, we will be having a Monday, Thursday service, M-U-N-D-Y service. And it'll be a foot washing service in the sanctuary area. And there we're going to recognize the time when Jesus washed his disciples' feet. And Jesus says that we were to do that. And as I have done, you do it as well. So I really want to invite you to put that on your calendar for that upcoming day. It is a very meaningful event, and I will talk more about it during the services today. All right, so let's talk about a few things. Number one is this. I want to talk about some of the most influential things that have ever happened in your life. Can you think of, for example, you got your piece of paper. I want you to write this down. You ready? Here we go. Here comes the first one. Name three sermons that have changed your life for the positive. Name three sermons that have changed your life for the positive. Just be honest. You don't have to cheat. You're not going to come up here. I'm not going to make any Joe stand up and say, these are my three sermons. I'm not going to do that. Don't worry about it.
Isaiah 41:10 is mine.
Isaiah 41:10 is yours. Okay. Name three of them. Now, here's another good question. Ready? One of my favorite ones is Galatians. When Charles Swindoll preached on the fullness of time when God sent his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law. And he talked about how God, in the intertestamental time between the Old Testament and New Testament, brought everything together for the coming of Jesus. One of my favorite ones. Absolutely love that sermon. Here's another one. Maybe. Yep. Nope. Maybe. Okay. Name three events that changed your life for the positive. Name three events that changed your life for the positive. Okay. Besides, I know we have to be churchy here. Besides accepting Christ, I know that changed you. I'm stretching a little further than that, okay? I know it changes your life. Don't worry about that. Mine would be my wedding. That changes everything, doesn't it? My next one is the birth of my children. Did that change anything?
No.
Not at all? Okay. And my next one would have been going to college, going to Fort Wayne Bible College. Those are the three main events that I would say have changed my life. Yeah, we got the fire and everything else, but that's one of the negative. Okay. The next one is, name three people that have changed your life for the positive. Three people that have changed your life for the positive. My wife got me for Christmas this thing called Storyworth, where I have to write, they have questions throughout the year, and I have to write down, and one of them was actually, name some people who were most influential in your life. And so I had to write it down, so it's very easy for me, because one was my grandfather Delancey, that my mom's side. He taught me the value of hard work. He grew up in the Depression. He was a dirt farmer. When he died, he was worth seven figures, but you'd never know. The newest tractor he had was a 1955 Farmall. And this was the 1980s. Okay? Pastor was Pastor Hugh Rohr. He was my pastor when I was the back row teenager. Something about the pastors during your teenage years are very influential. He was very influential for me. And then John Shoemaker. He was a Christian businessman that taught me the importance of living Christ's faith, even in the middle of businesses. So those are three individuals. Okay, now here's the question. Okay, which one do you remember the most? Which one do you remember the most? The three sermons? The three events? Or the three people? It's people. Right? The question was actually asked, and some people, I remember three sermons that really influenced me the most. Really, it was only like two or three people. Then it came to events, and a lot more people raised their hands. And then it was people. Why were these people so special to you? And I can guarantee it boils down to really one word, and it begins with a C and ends with an E or maybe a D. They care. Meaning they care about you. Meaning that they gave themselves for you in one way or another. Meaning they invested in your life. There's a man named Truett, and he organized a business in 1982, and in the corporate values are to glorify God by being a faithful steward of all that is entrusted to us, and to have a positive influence on all who come in contact with my business. To live out our purpose and honor of Truett's legacy, we are focused on creating a culture of care, both at the support center and in our businesses. Our core values reflect our purpose and our culture and shape our staff and work experience of our business teams wherever you are. We are here to serve. We keep the needs of our local owners and operators and their team members and guests at the heart of our work, doing what is best for the business and best for them. We're better together. It's through teamwork and collaboration that we do our best work. We are an inclusive culture that leverages the strength of our diverse talent to innovate and maximize our care of our business, our team makers, and our customer. We are purpose-driven. We model our purpose every day, connecting our work and daily activities to our business strategies, supporting each other's effort to good stewards who create positive impact on all who come in contact with our business. Anybody know what business this is? Chick-fil-A. Who's all eating at Chick-fil-A? All right, please, when I'm about ready to say what I'm going to say, if you have tomatoes, please don't throw them at me. All right, here we go. To me, Chick-fil-A is sandwiches. I go to Chick-fil-A. Polly loves Chick-fil-A. Whenever he's, oh, I'm going to go there. And I go there, it's a chicken sandwich. Whoop-de-doo. I mean, it's like, to me, it's like KFC. I go there and it's a chicken sandwich. Now, if I like a waffle fries where I can, you know, play tic-tac-toe in them, I mean, you got that as well. But here you have this business that everybody loves to see. Matter of fact, you go into Findlay, and I think is there one in Lima?
No.
One in Findlay. People are lined up trying to get into that restaurant, and they are stinking busy. Why are they so busy? What?
Because of the people.
Because of the business. And you feel like you're special when you go in there. And that's why they're so successful. Polly and I, a number of years ago, remember when Truett stood up and he said marriage should be between a male and a female? And Chick-fil-A, everything was out of control, and they were going to have a boycott of Chick-fil-A, and somebody came up with the idea of having a Chick-fil-A day. Remember that? Well, Polly and I were down in Georgia. I think it was Marietta, Georgia, and I knew nothing about it. I had never eaten at Chick-fil-A, and I said, "Here's a nice restaurant. Let's go there. Let's eat." You know how long it took for us to get something to eat that day? They made more money that day than any time in their history. Why? Because they develop loyalty amongst their customer base. And so if there's a Chick-fil-A in the town, I guarantee if there was a Chick-fil-A in Indian Lake right now, they would be providing sandwiches to all the people. Chick-fil-A has also provided food for people who are stranded on highways. And so they develop that reputation of, we are important and we are valuable when we eat at that restaurant. People will spend more money if they feel like they are appreciated. Now let's go to a negative one. Tell me the airline that you do not want to fly.
Spirit.
I heard it. Somebody said already.
Spirit.
Why? Because you feel like you are a cash cow. It's basically what they're saying. What's the airline you want to fly? Besides none of them.
Southwest.
Why? They act like you're important. They're funny. They do that weird stuff when they're, you know, this is your seatbelt, you know, and if you don't put it on, you're going to fly out the window. You know, they do that type of stuff. And so they get that idea that you feel like you're valuable and important. You say, Pastor, why are you spending so much time on this? Because what Jesus did in John chapter 13 was exactly this. And so we get to the point where here's Jesus, and he is now in the Passover season. He is now getting ready to be arrested. He's getting ready to be beaten. He's getting ready to be put on a cross. But his disciples came together, and they had what was called the Last Supper. And in that Last Supper, they all sat around the table. They came into the house, and somebody forgot to do one very important thing, which in that culture, when you walked into the house, anyone's house, you had to wash your feet because they stunk. Or they were dirty, and you brought all that dirt in with you. Also, when you wash somebody's feet in that culture, it's very refreshing. It really is. And so what you do is you go into that house, And thus the servant, usually the lowest servant, gets the stinkiest job, has to go down, washes everyone's feet. Well, that didn't happen. When I was in Turkey last year at this time, and also India and Bangladesh, I realized how offensive feet really were to all of them. I was told, do not cross your legs. Because when you cross your legs, where do your feet go? Right here. What are you showing? The underside of your feet. Where is it close to? Their nose. So that was offensive in their culture. And so no one had done that. And then in Luke chapter 22, it says, gives a little bit more insight. It says, a dispute arose amongst them as to which is the greatest. Who is them? The disciples. Who's the greatest? I'm the best one here. You know, when I get to heaven, I'm going to be at the right hand of the Father. You know, Jesus, me, we're buds. You know, we're going to have all of that. And then Jesus is having the Passover meal. There were two Passovers that happened. The one was on Thursday, the other one's on Friday. Because what they did in order to divide up the responsibilities, because there were so many people who came into Jerusalem at that time, if you live north of Jerusalem, your Passover is on Thursday, so the priests could all slaughter your lambs. If you live south of Jerusalem, then you were Friday. So here's Jesus. He, of course, came from the north. All right, so here we go. So this is what happened. It was just before Passover festival, and Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave the world and go into the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew. So as we go into the Passover, we go into Good Friday, Jesus knew that this was going to happen. It was no surprise. Jesus purposely went to Jerusalem. Jesus purposely had this meal. He knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet. Jesus is number one guy in there. The number one guy didn't do that. Everyone else should have done it to the number one guy. But that was never done. And Jesus says, I'm going to give my one last message to my disciples. This is what how I want you to live. Dry them with a towel. He wrapped that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize what I am doing, but later you will understand. No, says Peter, you shall never wash my feet. Here's pride coming out. I did a little research trying to find out exactly why Peter acted the way he did. And there, no one really commented on it. But the way I view it is when somebody comes up to you and tries to do something nice to you and your pride gets in the way, you say, please don't, please don't. You ever had that happen? I had a pastor friend of mine who actually pastored my first church, two pastors before me. And we were having like our 150th, 125th, or 100th anniversary or something like that. And he came back for it. And he took me aside, and I was a young guy at the time. He says, Darwin, he said, the biggest mistake I ever made in the ministry happened here. So what do you mean? He says, Elder Burkholder came up, and he really felt impressed upon him to give me some money. Because we didn't get paid much of that church, trust me. He really felt he should give me some money. And so he reached in his pocket, took out $100, and he gave it to me. Now, $100 might be a sandwich now at Arby's, okay? But back then, 40 years ago, that was a lot of money. And he says, I said, no, please no. His pride got in the way. Please no. We did everything you're supposed to. Oh, please don't. No, 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 no. He says, I absolutely, positively refuse. I said, Eldo, no, I don't need this. said, when Elbow turned around and walked away, and the look on his face, he says, I knew I made the biggest mistake I ever made. One of the points that we're going to be making in this sermon is, give somebody the blessing to be able to bless you. And I think this is what was happening with Peter. He looked down, he saw the man that he should be washing his feet. He's doing this to me. My pride is now in the way. Don't do this. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part of me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, do not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. There's Peter. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet, and their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. Who is he referring to? Judas. Keep that in mind. This is important. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said, not everyone is clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set the example for you. If you're in leadership, we always set the example. If we're not willing to live that which we proclaim, people pick that up really quickly. It's like a pastor saying we need to pray and he doesn't pray, or a pastor saying read God's word and he's not involved with God's word. One of the issues that we complain most about politicians is they set rules that they don't live by themselves. Climate change, and yet they fly in a private jet. People are looking for authenticity. And they're looking for people who are leaders, especially who are going to live out that which they profess. I remember a commercial in the 1970s, and maybe some of us older people will remember that, but this man comes walking in there, and he goes, and he looks at his son, he found drugs in his son's bedroom, and he's going, what did you do? Where did you get this? Why are you doing this? I don't know if you remember this one. Why are you doing this? And finally, where did you learn to do this? And the son turns around and says, from you! I have set you an example. You should do what I've done for you. Truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Wow. Wow. Let's get to some notes here. I think it's important for us to understand. And the first one is this, is that Jesus gives his final lesson to his disciples before he was arrested. His lesson centered on being authentic servants to one another. And one of the ways that we are authentic is that an authentic Christian's life will live out what he or she believes by their actions. They live it out. And so Jesus says, throughout his entire ministry, he says, you're to serve one another. You're to love one another. This is what you're to do. This is how you're to act. This is how you're to live. And now he says, let me show you one last time what I mean. And so he got on his knees and he washed the stinky, dirty feet of his disciples, the lowest thing that anyone could ever do. And if you're in leadership in any way, I'm not talking about just Christian leadership. Any leadership. You have to live out with that which you tell others, because people will pick up on it quicker than anything. I can give example after example. many organizations have what are called SOPs. Standard operating procedure. Standard means this is how you're supposed to, but we recognize certain situations change. For example, when if a tornado goes through, I'm pretty sure situations are a little bit different and change. But when you have the higher ups that are using the SOPs to go after the lowers, and yet the higher ups aren't living by the SOPs themselves, people catch it really, really quickly. Number two, an authentic Christian will love and serve even their enemies. Everybody say the word out. Judas was there. Jesus washed Judas's feet. I cannot even imagine. Maybe the struggle that Jesus was having, a mixture of love for Jesus and anger and all these emotions that were coming in, because he knew that Judas was going to betray him, or maybe he already had, and that Judas was the one that was going to make him go through a day of pure torture. Could you wash Judas's feet? When I was prepping this sermon, I got to this point, and right then, God brought somebody to mind. An individual that destroyed 16 years of ministry. 16 years of my ministry destroyed. And like the Lord was saying, can you wash his feet? I'm getting uptight right now as it is. I'm not talking about somebody who annoys you. I'm talking about somebody that maybe even destroyed you. Are you willing to wash their feet? In Matthew chapter 5, Jesus says, you have heard it said, love your enemies. Did backwards on verse. Love your neighbor and hate your enemies. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you might be children of your Father in heaven. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good, and the rain sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are you not even tax collectors? Don't even tax collectors do that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. And every one of you here has one of those people. I know it. Everyone here has somebody. I guarantee it. And yet Jesus gave the example, and Jesus washed the feet of Judas. The one that was instrumental in putting him on the cross. An authentic Christian will allow others the blessing of being blessed. If somebody feels like they want to bless you, let them bless you. It's a two-word response. It is said, the response is very simple. Thank you. And if you feel like you don't deserve it, then you bless somebody else with it. It's easy for each of us to wash the feet of other people, but it's hard to receive that washing yourself. I have no problem on Monday, Thursday, washing anyone's feet in this church. No problem at all. But boy, I get uptight when you touch mine. I'm just being honest. I swallow hard. It's a very humbling event for me. Partly because I got an ugly toe. You know, it's just like, Lord, why does the church of God do this? That's right. I don't want to do this.
right. Allow others to bless you. And when you allow others to bless you, it really encourages them.
Lastly is, an authentic Christian inspires others to follow their example. Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from his love, if any common sharing in his spirit, any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and one in mind. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility. Value others above yourself. Not looking at your own interests, but you looking at the interests of others. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus, who, being the very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be used to his own advantage. Let me back up. Rather, he made himself nothing by taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in the appearance as a man. He humbled himself, became obedient to death, even death on the cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the names above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under earth, and every tongue acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, the glory of God the Father. Is serving one another. And Jesus did it for us. He left heaven, came to this earth, spent time with us, and gave us the example to follow. And I like what the Bible verse says. It says, you will be blessed if you do these things. You want to find pure joy, then serve one another. Frederick Smith founded FedEx in 1971. He leads the company today, and from the very beginning, his mantra was, put people first. Herb Keller, former CEO of Southwest Airlines, he says, our business is the business of people. Amazon, their mantra is, leaders start with their customers and work backwards. President Abraham Lincoln lived a life of servant leadership. He desired to serve all people and give them what they needed during the Civil War. Mother Teresa, a Catholic nun, was one of the world's greatest and most famous servant leaders. She dedicated her life to serving other people. As a nun and the charity worker in India, she spent her life helping the poor, sick, and dying. She also never sought personal recognition, and when she accepted the Nobel Peace Prize, she did so in the name of the poor. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. I really want to encourage you. In about a week and a half, we will be having Monday-Thursday services here. I really want to encourage you to put that on your calendar and to come and participate with us during that, yes, humbling event. But we're following the example that Jesus set. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for what your word has taught us as we look at your scriptures and we follow the example of washing each other's feet. Prepare us in the next few weeks to be obedient to you. Prepare us, O Lord. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray, and all God's people said, amen.